First, we attack Spider-Man's heart. Then we attack his podcast.
Because the Geek History Lesson on Best Spider-Man Villains is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason, animal themed supervillain Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your mind university because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or villain from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour, except this week because it's a list episode.
That's right. And this week was also an episode that we had made in anticipation of a movie that got delayed. Spider-Verse 2. Across the Multiverse Boogaloo, or whatever the name of it. It's Across the Multiverse, or right across the universe now? I don't know what the subtitle is.
I have no idea. I'm just calling it Spider-Verse.
But listeners, I'm going to be flat out honest with you. We were going to do a bunch of Spider-Man episodes leading up to that movie, kind of an anticipation of that movie, excuse me.
Anticipation. That's right.
Because we were excited about that movie. And then just like has been happening, you know, since the pandemic has started, they delayed the movie on us, but I said, to hell with it. We're doing the list anyway.
Yep.
You know, Spider-Man has a lot of interesting villains. He has animal-themed villains, power-over-element villains, horror-themed villains, crime lords, inventors. And before we drop into our list, Ashley, I wanted to ask you,
yeah,
do you know who the first Spider-Man villain that ever appeared in the Amazing Spider-Man comic book series was? Do you have a guess on who you think Spider-Man's first villain was in his first solo series?
Poverty.
No, it's not poverty. It is the Chameleon, Dmitry Anatoly Nikirovich Smerdyakov. I apologize to all our Russian listeners. He appeared in March 1963. Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created him. He's the Master of Disguise Spider-Man villain. But he is technically the first villain of the Amazing Spider-Man series.
I did not know that. Yeah. It's smart, right? It's a lizard versus an insect.
A lizard? Oh, because he can change his... Oh, the chameleon.
Just the names.
My head conflated to the lizard, the Spider-Man villain, and I was very confused.
He's a reptile versus... But you are correct. He's also not an insect. Yeah. I know he's an arachnid, but... Classic animal pairing.
Yes. Now, before we get into our list as well, we also had rules for this list that we decided to leave off Dr. Octopus and Green Goblin.
Why, Jason? Why?
Well, let's have this discussion right now, mm-hmm. because when Ashley and I were planning this list out, we said, well, the number one spot is definitely going to be a fight between Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Now, the Green Goblin, of course, is Norman Osborn. Dr. Octopus, of course, is the man with the mechanical arms you've seen in all the Spider-Man movies. Ashley, why would these two be tied for the number one?
I mean, they're the two...
In your opinion.
It's kind of like, who do you like better? It tells a little bit about your preferences and your taste, which one you actually think is the best villain. But... In the same way that when we did our best Batman villains, we sort of put the Joker off to the side. This is what we felt was the appropriate thing to do for a Spider-Man villain. And the reason why is because they both show different aspects of Peter's character, right? Mm-hmm. Otto Octavius is Peter with a less moral compass, successful scientist, driven by his work, incredibly intelligent, ambitious, on and on and on and on and on. Norman Osborn is the father and the power that Peter never had.
Norman is the father that he never had. And Otto is basically, what if Peter Parker was evil?
Yeah, had less morals, like I said,
I mean, for me, like, Doc Ock is definitely on the spot because Doc Ock's the man who forms the Sinister Six.
Mm-hmm.
He has taken the planet entirely hostage by himself. But then also... It's hard to be Dr. Octopus as the greatest Spider-Man villain because he literally switched bodies with Peter Parker for a year and became the superior Spider-Man.
I was going to say he has been Spider-Man.
But then you also have Green Goblin, who is the Joker to Peter's Batman.
Yeah.
He has invested more cash money into the downfall of Peter Parker probably than the entire economy of the European Union.
There's a reason why the first two Spider-Man movies featured these two characters.
Mm-hmm. And then when we did Spider-Man No Way Home, we brought both these characters back.
Yep.
And also, Norman Osborn has two Trump cards as well. He's responsible for the death of Peter's first love, Gwen Stacy, the very classic throwing Gwen Stacy off the side of the bridge.
127.
And also, Norman Osborn is responsible for the clones, the famous Spider-Man clone saga. That also, was Norman Osborn.
Also the father of Peter's best friend.
Yeah, but that make him a villain? How does that make him
a villain? I just mean like he's deeply tied into Peter's life.
You know, Harry Osborn was such a bad best friend that Norman Osborn becomes more of a supervillain because his DNA contributed to this garbage of a person. So that is why we are, in terms of our list, we are making them the automatic winners.
Should we tell the listeners which one we would put number one of the two?
Sure, go ahead. Who would you? To me, there are tied for number ones.
Oh, it's just a preference.
Who would you put number one?
If we were allowed to put them on the list, I definitely would put Doc Ock as number one.
Doc Ock would be my number one as well. Yeah, I think we've talked about that before. So Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus are the automatic winners of this list. We are going to decide the next five of them, so to speak, but we still will be doing it 5-1.
Instead of 3-7.
Yeah. Please, everyone out there, share your lists online with us on social media. Mm-hmm. Ashley, where would be the best places for them to do so?
You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Instagram at geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHLpodcast.
And before we get to our number five, we do want to tell you that if you are looking for more Spider-Verse or Marvel content, then you want to head over to patreon.com/Jawin, that's J-A-W-I-I-N, where this week's episode of Geek History Lesson Extra, a bonus podcast over there, will be about the most heinous acts that the Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, has ever committed. Also, we're gearing up for the next part of Marvel Club, part 3, which might be spider-related, and there's another art print coming. And also, don't forget about our Justice League Review podcast and our podcast Discord. All of that can be found over at patreon.com/Jawin for supporting us. Come join us. Thanks to everyone that supports us over there. We really, really appreciate it. Now to the list.
Yeah.
To the spider list. Ashley.
Uh-huh.
These are our favorites, not objective bests. We've already determined that Green Goblin, Doc Ock are number ones, but we're going to have new number ones. It's fine. So everybody, don't worry about it. It's fine. It makes sense. Okay. Who is, in your opinion, the fifth best Spider-Man villain?
So this is a character that your mileage may vary on how villainous he actually is or what type of a villain
Flash
he
Thompson.
Is. Yes, Flash Thompson and the American public school system's inability to address systemic bullying.
Number five.
Is number five. My number four will be the Child Welfare Commission.
Number two is that diner that never gives Peter enough fries.
Yeah. Number three is whoever Joel McHale played in Spider-Man 2.
And number one is the rooftop of the Chrysler Building. Jesus, why won't they ever clean that place? Peter keeps slipping off of it.
Number one is the executives who shoehorned him into that Captain America movie. So my number five is J. Jonah Jameson.
I considered adding J. Jonah Jameson, but why is he your number five?
So again, when I at first blush, when you think of Spider-Man villain, J. Jonah Jameson probably doesn't necessarily jump to mind. If we were doing Spider-Man supporting characters, citizens of Spider-Man's New York, like I probably would have put J. Jonah Jameson on there as well because he is such an important part of Peter's villains. But when you look at it at face value, if you look at it on paper, he is an antagonist. He is the most effective bully in all of the Marvel Comics universe, New York City. His entire purpose is to be a troll who drags down an actual child most of the time through lies and slander and the vanity press that is his corporate publishing entity that he works at, the Daily Bugle. And that's incredibly evil. And it is evil in the way that only a modern American business person could be evil. And J. Jonah Jameson also blow for blow has been a villain, a Spider-Man antagonist for more stories and more across more mediums than any other Spider-Man villain.
Because
he doesn't get into fistfights with Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So for that reason alone, but also because like I low-key love J. Jonah Jameson, I wanted to put him at my number five on this list. I'm going to have more traditional villains moving forward, but I also thought the discussion around like putting him in this category was kind of interesting and worthy of having on the podcast.
What are your thoughts on J. Jonah sort of being an ally or slash friend of Peter now in the modern comics continuity?
I
Like, he knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man now.
Yes. I like that once he knows it's Peter, mm-hmm. he can change his tune because mm-hmm. it shows you that he's not evil in his heart of hearts.
Yeah, and that he loves Peter.
I also like it when J. Jonah Jameson is a romantic interest for Aunt May. I think that's really interesting.
Well, his dad was.
That's right. I'm so sorry. And yeah, so he kind of becomes Peter's weird, like, brother-uncle-in-law mm-hmm. kind of thing. I think that's really interesting. But I've also liked the stories where he becomes a mentor to Peter Parker, mm-hmm. even though they have this contentious part of their relationship that J. Jonah Jameson doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the more JJJ, honestly, the better for me.
All right, nice.
Thank
good choice.
Thank you. So who's in your number five position?
My number five is a villain that I'm not a huge fan of, but I kind of considered, I was like, I think this person has to be on the list.
That's so fine.
They're going to be on the list. They're going to be at the bottom for me. But you cannot doubt the power of this villain having now appeared in three movies.
Mm.
And that is Venom.
Venom.
Yes, or Venom, as I probably, I guarantee you I called him Venom when I was a kid. So, of course, you know, this is Spider-Man's rejected alien black costume that bonded with disgraced reporter Eddie Brock, and I am focusing on the Eddie Brock version of Venom, mm-hmm. even though there have been other Venoms. When he was first introduced, Venom was basically the evil-looking Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man in a black costume, right? But they did a lot of stuff when Venom was initially introduced, and I like Venom in the way the characters originally perceived was that he was this guy that was coming after Spider-Man to torture him. Mm-hmm. And because he had been bonded, the symbiote had been bonded with Peter, Peter's spider sense didn't work. So this villain was like more deadly than any of other Spider-Man's villains.
It's actually a really intelligent way to have your Venom and eat him too, and have him present a new type of threat to Spider-Man.
Yes, and again, it really plays on that dark mirror image where mm-hmm. it's this idea of like, oh, it's a piece of Peter's soul. Like, so no matter what, Peter cannot predict what this guy is going to do. And also, Eddie Brock has an obsession with the revenge on Peter Parker specifically, not Spider-Man. So, like, he attacked Mary Jane a lot. He attacked Peter a lot, and then eventually found out that he was also Spider-Man. Now, I understand the idea that the character became so popular, and the reason why I think the character became so popular is because the design is amazing. It's a mm-hmm. really great design. It's very iconic. I understand why Venom became an anti-hero, but, like, Venom as a villain is where I like Venom. I would truly love to see Venom as the antagonist of a good Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I if you want to read a really awesome modern Venom story, is read the Ultimate Spider-Man arc about Venom. Mm-hmm. It is really good. It's Venom just being a bad guy. And
you'll also understand a little bit more about where the Spider-Man 3 version of Venom comes from.
Yeah, you'll see a little bit. Yeah, they were definitely inspired by, yeah. because that had happened by that point, mm-hmm. by 2008. But that's where I like Venom as this like scary black sort of Spider-Man demon. That's what I like about Venom. I don't like the Venom's an alien. I don't like that he's a shapeshifter. I just like this idea of like, oh, there's evil Spider-Man and they are very sadistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like the big teeth and the gross tongue. And that's why that works for me, because it's like, oh, it's Spider-Man pushed to the limit. And I think every time you take that away from there, like the more anti-hero you make Venom to me, the less interested in Venom I am. I want Venom as just this unstoppable black goo who's mad that Peter Parker tried to throw him in the trash one day, which is what happened, basically.
That's kind of how I feel about Harley Quinn.
Yeah. But Venom has affected so much of Spider-Man. Like, mm-hmm. there is a pre-Venom Spider-Man, there is a post-Venom Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I think this list would be incomplete, in my opinion, without Venom. Mm-hmm. So that's why Venom is my number five.
That's a good choice. Venom is my number four.
Oh, okay. Why? You are not a big Venom fan, so why did Venom make it on your list too?
I'm not.
Over J. Jonah.
I'm not. Well, because he's more traditionally a villain than J. Jonah Jameson. So when we took Doc Ock and Green Goblin off this list, I was like, yeah, man, all the other Spider-Man villains are like not on the same tier as those two dudes. And I tried to focus this around characters that really embodied what I think of when I imagine a Spider-Man villain, and Venom is definitely in that discussion. Venom does look cool. Like, I was introduced to Venom in the animated series. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same for a lot of people who are about the same age as me. So for a long time before I really understood like how long comic books had been around, I assumed Venom was always the number one Spider-Man villain. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that Venom was like, I didn't know what 90s did to change comics or what kind of ethos Venom came out of.
Can I make a quick note about the Spider-Man the animated series?
Yeah.
I like that cartoon, the 90s animated series. The one thing I don't like about what they do with Venom is I don't like that they gave Venom eyeballs. I understand why they did it, but they give him pupils.
It's weird.
And it does it's not look good.
It makes him look it makes him look unwell.
It makes him look huggable, and I don't like that.
Yeah. Also because Venom is genuinely scary when he's drawn by the right artist.
Mm-hmm. Like Todd McFarlane, the person who basically helped co-create him.
Or if you make the mistake of having your safe search off when you're looking for a picture of Venom to share on your social media, Venom's a very creepy, visual. There's also a direct line between Venom and the Miles Morales spider suit. Like the look of Venom and the look.
Definitely inspired, yeah.
Yeah, the look of the black suit echoes across popular culture. And whether or not I particularly care for him, I thought it would have been remiss to not at least have the discussion about Venom. And the only thing that I hate more than Venom is Carnage. So Carnage was definitely not making it on my personal list. So I thought the reasonable thing to do was to give Venom his due. Because when, as you say, when Venom is a villain, he's kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And like Harley Quinn, the more you try to rehab him consistently versus a one-off story or a thought experiment,
the more watered down he becomes.
The less interesting he becomes. I don't want to empathize with Venom. I want to be gratified when Spider-Man crushes him with a car.
Yeah.
So, but it's mostly because he looks really cool.
A lot of it is the design.
Hats off to Todd McFarlane for creating one of the coolest looking Spider-Man villains by coloring him black.
Well, it was based off of the black Spider-Man suit from Secret Wars. But for like twisting that design into something really creepy.
Yeah. So he's my number four.
Yeah.
Who's your number four best Spider-Man villain?
My number four, you're going to start noticing recurring theme because I love Steve Ditko. Uh-huh. And I love the Steve Ditko work. So I have a lot of fondness the Steve Ditko villains, including one of the most badly dressed Steve Ditko Spider-Man villains, who can be described in a simple song. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Boom, 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 boom.
Do you know the next line?
Something about
make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Oh, I was going to say something.
He did not.
I was going to say something about a washing machine. But anyways, Flint Marko is one of Spider-Man's earliest and most persistent foes. Appeared very early on in The Amazing Spider-Man. He basically was a person who got turned and mutated into a being of pure sand. He's super powerful, but he has the unfortunate choices of wearing khakis with a striped green t-shirt. And he also has the Norman Osborn hair. And if you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
when you read the comics, the Norman Osborn hair is like this weird frumpy fro that's orange with lots of weird black stripes and dots in it.
To me, and this might be me making an assumption as someone who was raised on the East Coast and knows New York, I always assumed it's kind of that tight Jewish style haircut that it's supposed to evoke. Was always what I thought of.
Yeah, it's a hard one to draw.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to draw. And I know lots of people are like, how have they never duplicated that in the movies?
Because you simply can't.
I don't, because nobody really knows what it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, the interesting thing about Sandman is that Sandman is basically like Spider-Man fighting a sandstorm / hurricane. It is, Spider-Man is so outmatched when it comes to Sandman. But I also like the idea, and part of the reason, again, is that I think Sandman has an interesting look, but also Sandman is not particularly like one of these supervillains. He is a guy that just fell into a, particle accelerator experiment, just kind of like in Spider-Man 3, and he sort of was like, well, I'm just going to rob some stuff. And eventually, he would reform. Sandman also is this Fantastic Four villain. And if you don't know, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four have a deep connection. He was part of the Frightful Four, which is a team of villains that was created to specifically fight the Fantastic Four. But Sandman also, later when he reformed, he became an Avenger. So,
okay.
Yes, he was a part-time member of the Avengers in the giant roster like during the 90s. Now, he's gone back to full being just the evil mook going for robberies and stuff like that. His goals are basically financial gain, but it's so interesting to me because most of Spider-Man's villains have a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is just a guy in a t-shirt and jeans that has sand for arms. He has giant sand arms. But in every version, even the movie, they gave him that weird green striped t-shirt that I have never seen. I have never seen this green striped t-shirt anywhere in real life.
I'm going to bet Ditko owned that shirt.
I think that was the closest they could get because I think they tried to give the Sandman a super villain costume and then decided that everything they did was just too goofy looking. And
what are you going to do? Put him in like a nightcap?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is just to make him a sand creature, but if you do that, then he's not interesting. I think they liked the idea of like seeing like a mook type guy, a henchman type guy with weird sand powers shooting sand at Spider-Man just so Spider-Man go.
I also think the name Flint Marko is just really cool.
Yeah. Well, there's another version of the Sandman also called William Baker, but Flint Marko is my guy.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm going with. He's an Avenger. He's got cool pants. He's got cool shirts. That's why Sandman is my number four.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Not too bad.
Is Sandman your number three? Who's your number three, Ashley?
No, my number three is another scientist.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those in Spider-Man films. A lot of scientists. Oh. I'm something of a scientist myself, Peter.
I love that meme and every time people use it.
Mm-hmm.
He is another scientist. He is also, I would say, popularized by the animated series and somebody that I used to chase my brother around my grandma's house pretending to be, and that is Michael Morbius.
You pretended to be Morbius?
I did. When my brother wanted to play Spider-Man, I always wanted to be Morbius.
I didn't realize this podcast was going to be entering Morbin time.
Yeah, it's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time.
I also like vampires. Mm-hmm. He's so generically a vampire. Like, not a vampire in a really interesting way.
Comic book vampire.
And then the more you delve in, the more they try to define what their version of a vampire was, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a disease? Who is vampire in the Marvel universe? It's bad. So you just wash it all over by saying he just has generic vampire powers.
Yeah, he's like a genetic experiment vampire, right?
Yes.
He made himself, he's not a true Dracula vampire. Morbius, the living vampire.
Somehow the vaguely Judeo-Christian overtones still push him away, which mm-hmm. comes from the origin where they're demons. And, you know, like Morbius is a mess as a concept, but I think like Venom, the vision and the vibes of this character somehow really scan with Spider-Man. And in a lot of the fights where they're fighting at nighttime in the rain on rooftops in New York City are some of the most fun visuals that you can get out of a Spider-Man / villain fight.
Morbius with his weird soul patch and his goatee and his long hair and his red eyes and his white skin. He's got a cool look.
He does. And I will die on this hill. I think he's a great villain for a movie.
Really?
I don't think he's a great villain to be the protagonist of a movie.
That I totally agree with.
But I definitely think we will see a version of Morbius in a Spider-Man movie that is cool and scary and interesting.
I can't believe we live in a world that we have a Morbius movie.
And it's a meme.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy meme. Yeah.
I cannot believe that. Of all the Spider-Man characters, Morbius was the one that got a solo movie?
But I really liked Morbius when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about like my sort of Spider-Man origins and the things that I love about it, I always have these like memories of really liking this character.
I don't remember him being in the cartoon a lot. Is he in the cartoon a lot?
I don't think he's in there a lot.
Okay.
But I do remember him. Here, I'll look up how many episodes he was in.
Can I have a follow-up question to you?
Yes.
Because Morbius very famously in the comic books appears, I want to say it's Amazing Spider-Man 101 or 121, something like that. But it's very famous that his first appearance is also the appearance of a Spider-Man character that I know you really dislike, but I love, is, and the animated series adapted this, the Spider-Man with six arms.
Yeah, I hate this. I find the Spider-Man with six arms really scary. Because
the very famous Morbius cover is where he's smacking the Spider-Man with six arms. And again, know,
maybe that's why I like him, because I don't like the Spider-Man with six arms, so I'm rooting for Morbius at that time. you do have the
action figure spotlight. I specifically have the Marvel Legends action figure of the Spider-Man with six arms, because I've always loved that idea. I will never get rid of that action figure, because I always think that idea is so weird that I love it. But when I bought it specifically, I can remember Ashley looking at it and saying, why did you buy that?
Yes.
And yuck.
Yeah, definitely.
So there you go.
Morbius appeared in a 5-episode story arc of Spider-Man the Animated Series.
So he's only, okay, so he's 5 episodes. All right.
Yeah, which largely deals with his evolution.
Do you remember Morbius being on your list?
Do you remember, too, in the Animated Series, in his palms, he had the little holes from where he was? Yeah, where he
That's from the comic books.
Yeah. I remember thinking those were very creepy.
That's how you get to Morbin time.
Through the portals in his hands.
Through the suckers on his hands.
Oh, boy. The I don't like where this discussion is going. Yes. So, yeah, my number 3 is Morbius.
Cool.
I think he's cooler than Venom.
That's why you put him above him on the list.
I did.
Actually, Morbius is not on my list.
I didn't think he would be.
Nope.
All right. Who is next on your list?
My next character from The Amazing Spider-Man made his first appearance in The Amazing Spider-Man number 9 in 1964. Some might say he has an electric personality. Mm. I am talking about Electro. Mm. And I'm not talking about the blue-skinned Smurf-looking Electro. I'm talking about crazy lightning bolt mask that would not make sense in real life, that it's pointy in triangles outside his face. He has a really cool idea. But we got to talk about Max Dillon, who actually was a real electric lineman who had a lack of ambition. But because of an accident, he was able to manipulate massive amounts of electricity, and he just decided to become a big criminal. You know, like everybody does, you know. Here's the interesting thing about Electro. Electro is insanely overpowered as a Spider-Man villain. In all sense of the word, when you think about Electro going against Spider-Man, it is surprising and almost unbelievable that Spider-Man has won any fights with this guy who in many points has been able to turn his body into pure energy. Like he doesn't even become human. He becomes an energy construct that can travel through power lines. Mm-hmm. You know, he's most of the Spider-Man stories where Spider-Man fights Electro is either Spider-Man has to like insulate a suit so that he can actually punch him, or he has to invent some sort of type of webbing that can get past the electricity, because otherwise
that doesn't carry electricity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because basically the electricity is so strong that if he shoots a regular web line at him, Electro can incinerate it. So it doesn't even work. There's also something to all, there's all, so many stories. He's also a member of the Sinister Six, but, and he's also fought Daredevil several times. But when there are storylines where a spider villain is creating a new Sinister Six, or a spider villain is like, I'm going to take over this new mob territory, almost every single time they hire Electro. Electro, like, and that happens in the storyline where people are like, uh-oh, here's Electro. I understand why they made Electro the villain of the Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie. I don't think they were successful, but I understand, because he is like one of these villains that you introduce in the movie. And I think also that was the problem with the movie, is because Electro is powerful enough that he's the only villain in that movie.
Yeah.
But they decided to throw two more villains into it. And you're just like, why? Because Electro can carry a whole movie by himself. I just think he has a really good look. He's another one of these Ditko villains that he looks so goofy, but every time they get rid of his like big pointy triangle mask, the next person brings it right back.
I always thought he looks like a Christmas tree.
He does look like a Christmas tree, and he lights up like one too. So that is why I say Electro Also, he's always in every Spider-Man game I've ever played. There's usually an Electro, and he's always one of the hardest ones. To beat. He is so difficult. Even in Spider-Man PS4, he was a hard villain to beat. Mm-hmm. And just on those merits, Max Dillon, you my number three. You, buddy.
He's not on my list.
You shine like a light, like no tomorrow.
Shines like a diamond.
Yeah, he shines like a light. He's not Diamondo. He's Electro.
Okay.
Although that could be a new Spider-Man. Let's send a letter to Marvel. Diamondo.
Okay.
He shoots diamonds out of the palms of his hands.
Great.
You like it?
They're going to love it.
I think they're going to buy it. I mean, think about the Diamondo jewelry they could have at Disneyland or an Avengers campus.
Oh, their cubic zirconia versions.
Diamondo's engagement rings. All right. Ashley, who is your number two? I'm very curious about who's jumping up into your top two spots.
Yeah, this is where I get to characters I actually like, so that's fine. Number two is Black Cat.
Wow, very high.
So here's my thing with Spider-Man villains. A lot of them don't have anything besides a look.
Mm-hmm.
I think Batman, due to the amount of time and the sheer amount of issues that have been published, because Marvel can redo their numbering and say that they hit 1,000 issues all they want. Batman just, more than anything, has so many stories he's appeared in. Batman rogues tend to have a better, I would say, backstory or like personal connection to Bruce Wayne, even if they don't necessarily understand why. And I think that's what I like about Black Cat. And the reason I keep evoking Batman is because she's obviously a Catwoman ripoff.
I have a theory to that. And I might have mentioned this on the podcast in previous episodes. I have a theory that if you look at a lot of Batman's villains, you know, pre the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of them are based around a psychological fear of some type. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why. I mean, look, there's no debating this, in my opinion. I don't think you would agree with this, too. Batman's rogues gallery is the best rogues gallery in comic books. Sure. There's hands down. Spider-Man's, I think, is a close second.
I agree, but I think blow for blow, Batman's is still stronger.
I think Batman has more stronger villains than Spider-Man, but I think it's because they're based around fears and egos, I think they have more depth to them. Whereas I do think you're right. I think a lot of them do have just crazy Steve Ditko designs, and that's all they have.
Yeah, and that can carry you only so far. What I like about Black Cat is I've always liked when Felicia Hardy and Peter Parker in their civilian identities get involved in the businesses between Spider-Man and Black Cat. Like I like when they had a romantic relationship. I thought that was really interesting. And when I like that she's older than him and has to grapple with that. I do think she's a little broadly drawn. And I think that also comes from her costume.
Well, yeah.
But
can I ask you another question here? Black Cat is not typically a villain to Spider-Man. She's only been a villain to Spider-Man in a couple specific stories. Most of the time, she's just kind of like Catwoman. She's an anti-hero. So like,
You know what's the opposite of a hero? A villain.
Yes, but, well, she steals stuff, but she like doesn't.
She's not trying to destroy the world. I get it.
She's not typically the villain of a Spider-Man story.
I also really wanted to not put a white guy on my list. I wanted somebody on my list who was not a. Now, I don't mind white guys being all the villains, but when you look at Spider-Man's galleries, I mean, yeah, there's a version of Electro who is black, but that's not the primary version of Electro.
All of mine are white guys.
Yeah, so I knew I wanted to put Black Cat on here, and it's mostly because I've enjoyed stories that she's been in. When she shows up in a Spider-Man issue, I know the story is going to be compelling, and I'm shocked that they haven't sorted her out in the films in any meaningful way.
I actually am very surprised that we haven't seen her in a movie yet.
Because it was like her or Madame Web were kind of my only options for females, and I didn't feel like Madame Web was at the same level.
Black Cat, I feel, is one of the few Spider-Man villains that you could spin off into a solo movie.
What I also like about her, she doesn't have any powers.
She does, but it's like the power of luck.
Right, but they're not traditional superhero powers. Mm-hmm. So, yes, she's lucky, which is why she doesn't, which is like, okay, whatever.
Which is very
Cyclops
loose.
Cyclops' dad.
And undefinable.
Yes,
Cyclops' dad.
Well, like his power sets are also like, what are his powers? Like, who knows? It depends on what we need at the time.
I don't understand that reference, but okay.
It's fine. His space pirate dad.
Yeah, but his space pirate dad is not a mutant, doesn't have powers.
I know.
Okay. How does that connect to Black Cat?
Never mind. I'm very
confused, listeners. I have no idea where Lashley went.
What I like about her is that she gets by because she is smarter and more capable than a lot of the other characters. And I think when you're putting a character up against a genius level intellect like Peter Parker, what other way to stump them than by being smarter than them?
And boobs.
Well, yeah, that too.
Felicia's great, though.
Felicia is great. I like it when she shows up. I wish they'd use her more. So,
yeah.
That's my number two.
It should be Black Cat in time, not Morbin time. That's what I say.
Oh, okay.
I think she needs a movie. I think she needs a movie. I think she's a great character for a movie.
She's who I want Sydney Sweeney to play in the Madame Web movie.
Oh, okay. So. You think Black Cat will be in that movie? Just random prediction here.
I think Sydney Sweeney's blonde and she was cast in that movie, and that's about as much thought as I've put into it.
All right.
She's supposed to have a movie with Silver Sable that was supposed to be out 5 years ago or something like that.
I mean, they keep talking about a Silver Sable movie and I keep saying why.
You know,
every time they bring that up.
I know we had cast Bryce Dallas Howard as Gwen, but I think now she'd make a dope Felicia Hardy.
Look, I can tell you right now, Silver Sable, not on my list. Silver Sable wouldn't even make it on my list if we were doing top 50 Spider-Man villains. I've never heard a single person in my life say my favorite Spider-Man character is Silver Sable.
Also, you want to be a villain named after a weasel? Like, really?
Yeah. Well, also with a very convoluted backstory.
I mean, don't they all, though?
Yes, but Silver Sable is especially convoluted.
So my number two, Felicia Hardy, Black Cat. Jason, nice. Who is your number two?
Well, I don't think there should be much mystery in what my number two villain is, but it is the amazing Mysterio.
Hey.
Who first appeared in The Amazing Spider-Man number 13 in 1964. Look, Mysterio is one of these villains who does have an amazing look, but he also has an amazing backstory because he is a Hollywood special effects designer and stuntman who, as he failed as an actor, decided this was his plan. He's like, I'm going to go out there and publicly defeat Spider-Man. And he has no superpowers, and all of his powers and hijinks and everything all come from the power of Hollywood special effects, which I think is a concept that probably worked better in the 60s than it does now. But there's something so goofy about it that I love it. And part of it is because if you look at the look of Mysterio, and it's funny because Marvel has retconned this a couple of times away, but it keeps coming back. Mysterio wears a fishbowl on his head and he has a bright green costume with little like Illuminati eyes that clamp his cape onto his chest. And he just looks brilliant.
It's funny to me that you think that that's antiquated, because I actually think that you could do Mysterio now in a very like for the internet, for like Gen Z. Mm-hmm. You literally make him a YouTuber.
Well, there is like a Spider-Man villain that is a YouTuber. I can't remember the name of it, but Dan Slott created the character.
It's not Mr. Negative, is
it? No, it's a girl, and she.
Oh yeah.
She appears in the Spider-Man PS4 game. I cannot remember her name. But anyways, I do. One of the things I did like about the Spider-Man Far From Home new movie is I actually do think the idea that drones project like a simulation in front of you was a really smart way to update Mysterio's powers. Mm-hmm. But I meant just in the past that like a lot of Mysterio's stories just involve him like shooting smoke at Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's like, I can't see anything. Ah! and then Mysterio just like really quickly changes costumes. It's like, I'm your high school teacher, Spider-Man. No.
It's also funny because you're like, the low rent version of that is like, okay, so Mysterio's superpowers is like he carries around a bag of flour and just throws it in his eyes all the time.
A lot of it is he has smoke bombs and like toxic gas to like,
which is so derivative of Green Goblin when you think about it.
But Mysterio has done like a lot of great things. And also like Mysterio, there's a really great storyline. It was Kevin Smith's first comic book storyline. It's called Guardian Devil, written by Daredevil. And big spoilers for this story that came out in 2002. But the whole idea of that is that there is this nun who is claiming that this baby that was left outside her church is the Messiah. And Daredevil goes back and forth. He's like, I don't know what this is. And then eventually it's all revealed that it's Mysterio. Mm-hmm. And it's Mysterio being like, I was trying to trick you the whole time because I knew I couldn't trick Spider-Man, but I thought I could trick you. Ha ha. But also Mysterio bumps up to me because Ashley, did you know that the Earth 616 Mysterio, the main Marvel Universe Mysterio, is also the Mysterio of the Ultimate Universe of Miles Morales. It is the same person as Quentin Beck.
Nope.
Yes, it was revealed that Mysterio, the Mysterio of the 616 universe, is the same Mysterio in the Ultimate Universe because he found a portal. And so he would go to the Ultimate Universe because it was a less experienced Spider-Man, and he would dominate over there because he knew he's been fighting a Spider-Man that's been around for 30 years, so his hijinks doesn't work anymore. So he fought Miles and younger Peter Parker. And then actually, when Peter Parker died in the Ultimate Universe, he figured out that Spider-Man was Peter Parker. Yeah. So like that, I think, is kind of gives Mysterio an edge up, that he is the same Mysterio in both of these universes.
Real missed opportunity that we never get to see Bruce Campbell play Mysterio.
Which was the hinted plotline in Spider-Man 4 by Sam Raimi.
That was honestly how I kind of thought Bruce Campbell was going to be showing up in Doctor Strange
the Multiverse of Madness. I thought they were going to do that cameo
even
too.
Even just as a joke.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Mysterio, who's a villain that I have like literally no feelings about whatsoever. The costume is very stupid, but it's also iconic. Like there are a billion...
looks amazing.
There are a billion like knockoff parody superheroes who homage the fishbowl and the cape. Like the Venture Brothers fight a guy who looks like Mysterio. Doctor Strange is kind of in that category as well. That very like Ditko design where everybody, when they think of villains,
watch it.
They think of that.
Okay, good. I thought you might insinuating that you don't like Doctor Strange's costume. I was going to be like, be careful.
Doctor Strange's costume is amazing.
It's amazing in every version.
But also, I mean, even before Doctor Strange was in the zeitgeist in his Benedict Cumberbatch incarnation, there's also a billion cartoon parody superheroes that kind of look like Doctor Strange.
That is correct.
Like Dr. Orpheus.
Yes.
Your favorite.
Yes. All right, cool. Are we ready for the number ones that are not really the number ones, but they're the number ones?
Yes, the number ones of these lists.
The number ones that don't include the Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus.
I want to say we've had very little crossover, so I'm very interested in these ones.
Well, I don't know. You put Morbius in your list, which really has dumbfounded me, Ashley.
LOL.
I never expected that. So I don't honestly know who your number one's going to be. So who is your number one best Spider-Man villain?
Scary white guy. Scary white guy with a funny accent. Kraven the Hunter.
I was like, funny accent. That's a lot of them. I was like,
Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter. Really?
Kraven is awesome. And he's really scary. And Spider-Man is famed for being an animal totem and his best villains being animal totems. And I think Kraven is so compelling because he is the antithesis of that, being a big game hunter, following that the deadliest game kind of ethos of like, well, or the, I guess the Zodiac Killer thing of like, I like hunting human beings. That's genuinely scary. Kraven's Last Hunt is still super scary and still really, really stands up by contemporary standards.
Also talk about a goofy costume of the two tiger eyes on his chest with the mane of fur around his head.
Also, I mean, if you want to see an exposed chest, Kraven is there. There is a frightening subsection of the population who's very thirsty for Kraven on Twitter. And it
wouldn't surprise me.
Scares me. They're the same people who are also thirsty for Lobo, which like to each their own. But I was like, absolutely not.
Ashley, I have to tell you.
Is Kraven your number one?
Sergey Kraven Kravenoff is also my number
Sergey Kraven Kravenoff,
Spider-Man. I am here to hunt the Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the questionable accent.
That Aaron Taylor Johnson does?
Based on the questionable accent he gave us as Quicksilver.
Yes, Kraven, Kraven the Hunter is also my number one.
I suspected this might be the case.
I never thought in a million years you'd pick Kraven.
Because let's be honest, like, there's two really good Spider-Man villains and there's a couple of like mid stringers and then there's some low stringers, right? And Kraven is kind of the only top tier villain we have left when we take the other two off the table.
Well, there's something, okay, because like Sergey Kraven Kravenoff, it's, you know, he's a Russian, he's an aristocrat. He was definitely inspired by that great storyline, The Most Dangerous Game, where he's hunting humans. And there's something so interesting. Yes, you nailed it exactly, that it's the lion hunting the spider.
Yeah, and also no superpowers. He does take substances, which heighten his abilities.
Yes, because he had, like, there's all these classic storylines that I love and all these classic storylines where he would go to the Daily Bugle and he'd be like, sniff around, and he'd be like, Spider-Man is in this building.
He's also one of the only Spider-Man villains who's not a victim. You can even put Felicia Hardy and Flint Marko as victims of circumstance or victims of their means or their upbringing. Craven's just like a straight up butthole who chooses to live in this way. A lot of the other characters, like Mysterio and Electro, are victims of circumstances or often science experiments. And I think that's what, in terms of overall evilness, if we're filling in, to quote Lilo and Stitch, your badness level, Craven has the highest badness.
Well, I don't know if I would agree with that. I just think the idea that, like, because Craven is a villain kind of like Ra's al Ghul. He's an honorable villain. Like, he, several storylines with Spider-Man, he has decided to not take the final kill simply because it would not be honorable. And that's the only reason why Peter survives. Yeah. Because
plot device.
Yes, but, like, there's something, the idea that Craven is about the hunt. And if the hunt isn't honorable, he has no interest. And again, like you talked about, I want to talk about a little bit Craven's last hunt, because, like, this is one of the best Spider-Man storylines of all time, even though it is really dark and serious for a Spider-Man storyline.
But, you know, you bring up the idea of morality, and that's that. Like, he doesn't shoot Spider-Man and then bury him. Well, he gives him the opportunity if he wants to earn it to get out of those circumstances.
Well, like, it's this idea, like, Craven for years, basically, everybody, is that he was beaten by Peter several times, and then he's eventually like, how do I prove myself as better than Spider-Man? Oh, I need to become Spider-Man. So basically,
oh, that's right. Yeah, he goes around being Spider-Man.
Craven kidnaps Spider-Man and buries him alive for 2 weeks. Takes his black suit, because Spider-Man was wearing the black suit at the time, and pretends to be Spider-Man for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you were wondering where the inspiration for Superior Spider-Man came from.
And because he fought a Spider-Man villain named Vermin as Spider-Man, and Craven was able to beat him, eventually Craven's like, ha-ha, I won! I did it! I beat you! And then he commits suicide.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I can never beat this. This is the top of life. And all the Cravens we've seen since, because there's been a female Craven, there's been a male Craven, they're his children.
Yeah.
Who are like, who now think that the
Craven has become the identity.
Well, they think that the suicide was false, and it was actually Spider-Man. They think Spider-Man actually killed their father. Fun fact, weird, which I don't agree with, in some continuities, the Chameleon is Craven's brother.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But they're both Russian, which is the idea. But no, I agree with you. Craven has an amazing look.
Yeah.
Every version of Craven the Hunter has been interesting. Craven the Hunter, also one of these people that I'm like, yes, that is a Spider-Man villain that could carry a movie by himself. Also, he is a Spider-Man villain that I am shocked has not appeared in a movie yet.
He's also a Spider-Man villain that you could have show up. You could tease him in one movie or in the MCU, right? Like, we've talked for a long time about, like, have Craven show up in a Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. Especially as, like, a white colonizer coming in to attack this incredible African society, and then spin him out into a Spider-Man or an Avengers villain.
He's also one of the easiest ones to modernize. Have you ever read the Ultimate Kraven story?
Yes.
It's very funny, because in the Ultimate Kraven story, they basically made him a reality television star, and he just decided on TV that he was going to hunt Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So he finds Spider-Man, he shows up, and young teenager Peter Parker punches him and knocks him out cold. Mm-hmm. And that is the entirety of the fight. Because Peter's like, well, I figured he had superpowers or something. And then later Kraven storylines is because of that defeat, Kraven, like, injects himself with, like, some drug and, like, sort of becomes a lion creature. It's less successful going forward. But that initial storyline, I think, is very funny.
I also think, because in our reality, we live in a world that has things like both Squid Game and however many seasons of something like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the idea that somebody would start a reality television show or a documentary or a YouTube channel and be like, I'm going to go kill Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And everyone else would be like, this is fine. Everything's fine.
Yep.
It's not that much of a logic leap.
I agree. All right. Anything else on Kraven the Hunter?
Honestly, he's genuinely scary. I can't wait to see him in live action.
Amazing facial hair.
We'll see how he translates in real life.
It's Kraven time.
It's Kraven time.
All right, interesting. I did not think Kraven the Hunter would be both of our number ones.
When I started this list, the only person I knew was going to be on it was Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, interesting.
Everyone else was just like, well, this person's kind of fun.
Nice. Yeah. All right, let's get to the recommended reading, Ashley.
Yes, which is where if you go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, if you're interested in learning more about any of the characters that we have on this list today, we're going to have some stories there, including Craven's last hunt.
Sorry, I giggled a little bit because I looked over and intern cat Brego, JHL intern cat Brego, has just like flopped over like he had such a hard time recording this episode, to which he did nothing.
He's asleep.
Yes. All right, the number one choice in the recommended reading is, Ashley will have a bunch of various choices from
for every character we talked about.
But there's one I want to put on here, The Amazing Spider-Man, the Penguin Classics Marvel Collection. It's this new hardcover they've done where they kind of reprinted the first 10 in sort of a hardcover of The Amazing Spider-Man. And most of the villains that we talked about today make appearances in those first 10.
Yeah, get their origins for sure.
So there you go. That's definitely one you want to check out. Next is The Honor Roll, where if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, we will read your review live on the air. Ashley, who is joining the honor roll this week?
One of these that, now that I'm looking at it, we might have read before. Who knows?
Read it again.
The first one is from Slytherin Jedi, who says, great podcast for all. Whether you're a geek expert or just getting into the fandom, this podcast is for you. Jason and Ashley's commentary is both educational and entertaining. They're just two people who enjoy talking about all things geek. They just happen to let us listen and join in the fun.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't listen.
And they are also joined by Hopert59, who says, great listen. Wanted to know more about comic book reading suggestions, and these two rock. Already have two new comics they mentioned, and they are awesome. Great podcast.
Well, thank you both for those amazing reviews. Welcome into the Teacher's Lounge, where Professor Sergei Krivanov is teaching tracking. You must look for your prey. You must smell for your prey. And then you can make jerky out of them. That's what he was planning to do with Peter Parker. That was the true secret of that original Stan Lee, Steve Ditko. I read a lot of interviews, and they said that Sergei's original plan when he captured the Spider-Man was to make spider jerky.
Duh.
Yeah. So welcome to the Teacher's Lounge. Enjoy that jerky. And don't forget to subscribe to us everywhere you find podcasts, iHeartRadio, all those various places. And don't forget to tell your friends. You have a Spider-Man friend out there who's Spider-Man. Tell Spider-Man about this podcast, please. And also don't forget to suggest future lessons on our social media. Where can they do that, Ashley?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, where, by the way, we have a weekly blog that comes out every Thursday as a supplement to this podcast. You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Instagram at geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHLpodcast, because they have greater character restrictions.
And don't forget to follow Ashley on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. Don't forget to follow myself on Twitter, Instagram at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And don't forget to get all our amazing bonus podcasts by supporting this podcast at patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I. You know how it's spelled. Hashtag stick around. I'm still waiting on a sound effect from one of our listeners. I want a sound effect for hashtag stick around. Email it to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. We'll give you something cool. Ashley, we talked a little bit about this, but I want to decide once and for all, which Spider-Man villain has the best costume? Because we did talk a lot about their looks. Which one looks the coolest? We saw Tiger Eyes on Kraven. We got Electricity Mask on Electro. Fishbowl on Mysterio. Or is it the Green Goblin?
Oh, it's probably Green Goblin if he can be in contention, I think.
Every Spider-Man villain is in contention.
Because also the idea of the Goblin and the Goblin Glider is like unmitigatedly stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with this purple purse.
But it's like not cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very cool.
It's also weird how does the mask work? Because the mask emotes, but then...
So
it's not
Spider-Man's eyes, though.
It's not his face. It's weird.
Yeah, you can't think about it too
much.
Does
he paint his face and then put like prosthetics on? That can't be right. We've seen him pull it off.
It's a shorthand for the audience, Jason, okay?
I understand.
Calm down. It's like when the eyes move on the Spider-Man mask.
Yeah, but the MCU, he had a robotic suit that had nanotechnology in it and could move his eyes on command.
Yeah, well, the MCU isn't even the best on-screen version of Spider-Man.
That is correct. That is correct.
Has no way home proof.
Which Spider-Man villain has the best costume?
Green Goblin.
You think it's Green Goblin?
I think so.
I think it's Electro. I'm putting Electro back on there.
I don't care for Electro's costume. It's just not my preference.
You know another one that I like?
No.
But I don't think he's a good villain, is the Shocker. I like that he's
unfortunate name.
He has Chris crossed. We were talking about he's sort of like he's an upholstery villain.
Yeah.
I think he sort of has upholstery.
He looks like he's wearing a couch.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes, he does.
It's a very strained look.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the animal suits are fun. Like, I think like the scorpion costume is fun, and the rhino costume is fun. But like, again, unmitigatedly stupid looks.
A lot of them are.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, probably Venom. Venom's probably the.
They're very iconic though.
They are,
which is
iconic.
Why they never change. They never change the look of these guys.
Yeah.
So
they look
go.
Like what they are.
They look like what they are.
They have
are.
Strong branding game.
Yep. Spider-Man has a bunch of weird villains.
He does. Yep. A bunch of really weird villains.
Yep. There we go.
Flash Thompson.
And speaking, Flash Thompson and poverty, as we like to talk about.
That's a Jason joke from the first
that's an
year.
That's old school. Ashley trying to trot out at the beginning of this podcast. I'm going to need royalties from that joke.
You fully compounded
over 8 years.
Did not accept that joke.
Nope. All right. Thank you so much for listening, Spider-Man villains and Spider-Man heroes. I am Jason Fishbowl Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
You got it. Flip, flip. That was Spider-Man's webs shutting out the podcast.